What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Super Gamer Boys. I'm your host, Colonel, the most handsome dad, Garrett Morley, and here in the virtual studio with me is...
Let's see if you remember.
The king of video games and... Don't tell me. I didn't write it down, but I remember what I...
Oh, what was it?
Come on.
Think.
You want a hint?
The Pocket Poppy.
There it is.
I was going through like the Rolodex of like, what is... He just got a new PS5. He's got a new this, new that. Okay, yeah, no. yes, you forgot your analog pocket. You are the pocket.
I did.
I should have. I'm going to put that in the notes right now. I need to update that.
And the Pocket Poppy. What a fantastic name.
That's a good name. That's right. The King of Video Games and Pocket Poppy, Adrian Holmes, is in the house. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Monday has come and gone. Now it's just on to the rest of the week.
It has, in fact, come and gone. It is a late Monday night, and boy, it's been a long day. Long day for both of us.
We're ready in different ways. I am ready for bed, brother.
Ready for this week to be over already. I'm ready for Friday. Actually, I'm not. I'm ready. I'm excited for the week, but today was just really crappy. My official last day of work, so I'm officially unemployed. So anyone out there hiring anywhere, anything, I'll sweep floors. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I don't care.
I respect it. You got kids to feed. I respect it.
What do you say? Do I start an OnlyFans? Feet pics? Anyone interested in feet pics?
Your wife's going to be your only subscriber. Maybe JJ, out of curiosity.
But. I think he 100%. He 100% would. Oh, man. I'm also going to start selling seat pics.
Seat pics?
That's a different thing altogether.
You could sell seat pics.
It's just pictures of my office chair.
No, your other seat.
No, that's... No, thank you. Well,
that's what OnlyFans is for.
I know. That's what it's for. I am not about that. That's true. I doubt anyone would.
I guess you're not down for anything then.
I doubt anyone would be about that, honestly. Oh, shoot.
Oh, no. Are you kidding? There's people making hundreds of thousands of dollars on OnlyFans. Are you kidding?
Not for my seat.
Oh, okay. I thought we were just
me
talking
specifically,
in general.
Me specifically.
Okay. Got it.
Oh, shoot. Yes. So we are here tonight to talk about some video game news. Today, we're actually going to be talking about Xbox is moving on to their new console. Star Wars Outlaws may break the Ubisoft curse. And let's not hold your breath for Dead Space 2 Remake. But first, let's give a quick shout out to our Patreon producers, Bumble Smash and Kajoma01, and our Super Gamer sponsors, Julie Bates, Mama Mare, and Carrie. If you want to be awesome just like those folks, head over to patreon.com/supergamerboys where you can start support us starting at just $1 a month. That's right, $1. Gets you episodes early and ad-free, such as this show, and it gets you Patreon-exclusive shows, such as our first season of Super Gamer Book Club. It gets you ad-free versions of Super Gamer Book Club Season 2 and Super Later Boys, Patreon-exclusive show there. Episode 6 is up, and I guess we got to start recording Episode 7 soon. We already came up with the idea. We just got to sit down and get her done.
Do it.
If you want to learn more about our Patreon, make sure to tune in later to the show. We'll be talking more about that. Right now, I do want to give a huge shout out to Jack Sriracha Yate and DJ Trues for allowing us to use their music on the show. Currently, you are listening to the beautiful, beautiful tunes from... let me check the playlist. It's DJ Trues tonight. Go check them out. Links should be in the show description over on YouTube and podcast apps. Click on the link for Apple Music and Spotify. I think DJ Trues is pretty much everywhere, right?
Everywhere.
I mean,
he's finally on the places that matter.
Yeah, he's finally on Apple. He was everywhere except for Apple Music. And me and Adrian are like, come on, that's
on
what
purpose,
we use.
On purpose.
That's what we use. Please come. So right. He literally came to Apple Music just for us. So thank you, DJ Trues.
And saw
it.
Some growth, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
He did, in fact. All right. Well, with that, I believe it is time to check the mail. Let me go on.
Boot him up.
Boot up Super Game Bot.
Well, I'll be. 2 weeks of questions in a row? It's starting to feel like an actual job for me around here. Let's get to it.
Yeah, at least someone has a job around here.
You
thought
all right.
Super Gamerbot, 2 weeks in a row is getting spoiled. You're welcome, Super Gamerbot. you are welcome for that. Do you mind reading that first question off to us, please?
Crimson asks, what's your favorite video game crossover?
Okay, Crimson asks, what's your favorite video game crossover? This is a hard one. Like, there's a lot of games. There's been a lot of games over the years, a lot of crossovers to pick.
I got an easy one.
Okay, give it to me.
It's the best fighting game ever made. Marvel versus Capcom. We're done.
Okay.
I feel like I don't have to say much more.
That's a good one. That's not bad at all, actually. So, I mean, you've recently played Dead Cells and Castlevania crossover. Is that on your list?
Excellent.
Is that like in a top five, top 10?
Top five?
Or is that just kind of like, oh, it was good, but it's not on a chart?
No, it was great.
Okay.
But I don't actually, when I sit back and look at it, I have to tally up how many crossover game I've actually played.
That's true. That was my hardest thing. I was like trying to go through like my brain, my mind palace and be like, what crossovers have I even like played or experienced? It was so hard. What I ended up coming up with is also a fighting game. Completely different vein though.
Mortal Kombat versus DC.
What's that?
Mortal Kombat versus DC.
No. Even better. Probably the best. It's up there with my favorite. Maybe like a number two for me. PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Really?
For fighting games, I mean, Smash Bros. Is number one, obviously. Like Melee, great. Ultimate, fantastic. Right. But yeah, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, I love that game so much. I played
like a rare take.
So much of it. I was bad at it. But I mean, I'm bad at all fighting games. And I mean, the controls were a little funky too in the game compared to like Smash Brothers. It definitely wasn't as good as Smash Bros. But I think that's probably my favorite crossover because it literally all my favorite. I mean, I grew up a PlayStation fanboy, like all of my favorite characters all in one beating each other up. Like, heck yeah. I mean, it's a bummer it didn't have Snake in it, but it did. It had Raiden, right? That's what it had. They swapped.
Yeah,
it.
I don't know why they didn't.
Well, when did it come out? What year? Because it was at around when Snake showed up on Brawl. Because I wonder if that's why
Brawl was 2011, and I think All Stars was after that. So it was either 2012 or 20. It had to be 2012 because it came out on Vita. That's where I played it.
So Brawl came out in 2008. So, that still checks out then. So Brawl came out first where Snake was over there. So obviously, right. I'm sure there was some sort of like, well, Snake can't be in two places at once. Nintendo, we claimed him. He's ours. And PlayStation's like, well, our own homeboy here. We got Raiden. We lost him. I guess we got to take Raiden, which, I mean, it's still cool. Don't get me wrong. Raiden was fun, but not. It would have been cooler.
Put the naked skin in, you cowards.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Make him just fight with his feet.
Just his feet. Oh, man. Carrie in the chat actually kind of piggybacking off that question. What's a crossover you want to see? That's a tricky question, too.
Is that that's a gaming crossover?
Yeah, I assume so. I mean, that's what going off of the original question here. For me,
I'm thinking.
This is going to be way out of left field. You're going to be like, how the heck did you even come up with that? Although it's also very on brand for me. So you're going to be like, of course you would say this. I want
Death Stranding Cross Metal Gear.
Gran Turismo.
Whoa, okay.
To include NASCAR racing in it. Bring stock car racing into Gran Turismo.
Doesn't have that already?
No, Gran Turismo mostly focuses on like the more I don't even know what you want to call it, like the Le Mans series, like more like supercar and like F1 and stuff, like more like, I want to say sophisticated racing, you know, compared to just, you know, a bunch of rednecks driving in a circle, you know? But yeah, I would love for there to be like, I want NASCAR, like them to actually like give the NASCAR license to Gran Turismo. So like, all right, I can do my 24-hour Le Mans race and I can also like race 500 laps in Bristol, you know?
What if you have to do a real 24-hour race though?
With my Jimmy Johnson car, you know? Well, you do. That's a thing in the game. You can.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, yeah. At least it wasn't the old ones. Because there's like the story where I forget which Gran Turismo it was, but I think it was when they first introduced like the autopilot mode where it would drive for you, where you played as the crew chief or whatever. So like you could give him like a drive a little harder. Oh, come into pit, do that kind of thing. Cause I think my dad and his cousin, did the 24-hour race, but they did it that way where they kind of took turns racing for a while. And then I think, what was it? The second one, was it called B-Spec? Gran Turismo B-Spec, I think. And yeah, they added that feature. And but then the other times when they like slept, you know, they just popped up B-Spec mode, let it drive for a little bit and came back. But yeah, so I would love though Gran Turismo to get that like a NASCAR license for some DLC, or whether it's DLC or just like a season pass. I don't know. I don't care how they do it. I just want to be able to drive. Like, don't make me buy two games, especially since recently the NASCAR Heat games haven't been good. Like growing up, the NASCAR.
They're racing, still making those?
Yeah, they brought back NASCAR Heat. And from what I've heard, it's bad. Like, it's not good. Mm. It's like, man, Gran Turismo feels and sounds so good. Like, that's their whole thing, is being so insanely accurate to what the car feels like, sounds like, what the tracks sound like and feel like. Imagine if they got digital Polyphony Digital to go and like scan the NASCAR tracks and the cars and like get it so hyper accurate. Oh, it'd be so.
I mean, they still could.
Still could. That's what I want. What about you, Adrian? Do you have a pickaroonie?
I am thinking. I am trying to buy myself some time.
Is there like an couple indie games you'd like to see crossover? Like even like a story.
But that's
crossover.
The thing. They all do that already.
They do.
Like even Dead Cells had a bunch of cameo like weapons in it.
That's true.
So I'm like, I can't really say anything for that. Cause yeah, I mean,
what about like Omori and Undertale just coming together?
I mean, those are essentially like two sides of the same coin.
Exactly. So it'd be a great crossover. Like all of a sudden,
right.
Like so-and-so shows up. While you're thinking, I want to jump back to Carrie in the chat. I missed this one, but it says you should start an OnlyFans, but only have pictures of actual fans. I like that. Just the fans in my PC, the fan in my window, the fan on our ceiling, the vent fan in my car. Just like a bunch of different fans.
Just random fans that you go by.
Yeah. I go to Lowe's. Check this fan. This is a nice fan.
Look at here's the model that we have to show off today.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm blanking. I don't okay. really know.
That's all right. We can move on to the next question. You can think about it a little bit more. Let me come back to it. All right. So let Super Gamer Bot, do you mind reading off that next question for us?
Sir Prince Ellen asks, if you two could replace the voices of an iconic video game character, which role would each of you be perfect for? Pick one for each other.
Okay, so Sir Prince-Lot wants us to recast a video game character. He wants us to pick for each other, so you don't get to pick for yourself. Who do you think I should voice?
You would be a good character. Who would you make a good character voice for?
I would be the next Nathan Drake. I think so. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? Is that where you were going with that?
I could... destroy Nolan North. He thinks he's as big a high and mighty voice actor. I'd be a better Nathan Drake, I think, than him.
Yeah, okay. You got one?
I'm kidding. All right. So here's one for Adrian. It took me a while to think about this, and I came down to it. I was like, you know what? This character, at least my experience with him, this is a game where you could have different experiences with this character. My experience with this character is cool, calm, collected, laid back, fun, funny, enjoyable to be around. Always good to see it when they showed up. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, this is, it was always a good time. And that is, and this is a game that does not have voice acting in it. And I, that's why even better, I was like, I could totally hear Adrian's voice in this. And that is Sans from Undertale, as previously mentioned just a minute ago. I was like, man, like,
you're making me blush, Chief.
I was like, I know the game doesn't have voice acting in it, but if it did, man, that if we did a voiceover mod, you know what? There we go. There's an answer for it. You can be Sans. I can be Papyrus. I'd be this, the annoying dude, just ranting, just madness the whole time. Oh man, yeah. I think you'd be a good fit for Sans.
I got one for you.
All right.
It's another one that you've played and you recently played and found out you were actually a big fan of these games.
Oh, okay.
I think you would make a really good Phoenix Wright.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see it.
If I get into it, it'd take a little bit to get the energy up.
Yeah,
you know, but like once I got into it, yeah, okay, I could see that. I need to work on my
objection.
You know,
yeah,
got to work on that.
That's okay. That was a good one right there.
I could almost like, I got to grow my hair back. I just got a haircut the other day. Grow my hair back out. Do like the big swoop. Uh-huh. I mean, as a voice actor,
this is just voice acting.
It doesn't
matter
what your hair looks like.
You're not on screen. But.
I am a method actor, Adrian. Don't you know? I have to become the character. I will show up in my suit and my tie with my swooped hair, and I will play Phoenix Wright. Better than anyone's ever played Phoenix Wright. Has there been voice acting in any of the games besides the objection, you know, or whatever?
The new ones, I think, have voice acting. The Great Ace, what do they call it? The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, I think, the ones that are back in time.
Okay. Okay.
And I would wager that the DS ones, or the 3DS ones, I mean, I believe they have some. But the ones that we normally play, like 1 through 4, the originals, they don't. Because there was not enough space on that DS card. For them to have it.
I've picked up... I feel like I bought the remaster collection somewhere. And I can't remember where I purchased it from. Because I played the original one for the book club on my 3DS. But then there was like a sale on like the new like remaster. And I can't remember. I don't even remember. Did I buy it? I know I own it somewhere.
I mean, you might have got them on 3DS because 3DS had its own version too. Those were actually in 3D.
Yeah, that's the ones I played originally for the book club. But I mean, like more recently, like in the last couple of years, they just released them on like, I think I might have bought it on Switch. I think I got it on, it's either Switch or Steam Deck. But at some point, I need to play those and see, like, because who knows, maybe they are a voice now. And I don't know it, but.
I don't think they are. I don't know. Something about those games though, when you put them on something like Switch, it doesn't feel right to me. Like that feels like an experience that you would need to, you know, bring with you on a handheld or something like you're reading a little book. That's why I always akin those two.
Yeah. I mean, and I haven't played the, I haven't played the Switch version. Like it's one of those things where like I bought it cause it was super on sale and I never touched it. But I played the original one on 3DS. And what I loved about it is like, I felt like it played perfectly for having the dual screens. So it seems weird to me, like being on Switch, like, I wonder how do they compensate for that? Like, does the whole screen just like disappear or does it go side by side? Or, like slide? Like,
they up-res the whatever would be on the bottom screen and then just kind of let you move the cursor around and select stuff like that in the investigation scene.
So they just overlaid it, right? So everything that was on the bottom screen, they just put on. So it's just all in one screen, bottom and top. They just mushed it together. Basically.
No. They didn't mush it, but like, so if you go to, how do I put it?
I guess I could just play.
It like
and
brings
find
up
out.
A menu. Yeah, it brings up a menu when you have to select something.
I see. So just like it would kind of slide in on the 3DS. It kind of.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. And it looks really good. I mean, the art is really cleaned up and stuff like that. But I feel like those games are more at home on a portable experience. So,
right. Okay.
But yeah, man, I think you would make a great Phoenix Wright as far as just the dialogue that's given and the situations that he's put in and, you know, having to play anxious or you know, having to lock in
that's just my the state. Objection. That's just my state 24/7 is just anxious. So, I mean, there's no method acting needed for that. That's just me. No. cool. Have you thought of a crossover or are you ready to move on?
I mean, I had a crossover, but it's technically, I guess half of them are video game characters and half of them are characters that have video games.
That's fine.
And I said it before and people looked at me crazy, but if you really sit and think about it, I might be onto something. And I would love to see how a writer would be able to make this work, right? I think The Last of Us and TMNT would be an interesting crossover.
Huh.
I'm talking about like Last Ronin TNT.
Yeah,
TMNT.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So like Last Ronin.
Because they'd have to be able to, you know, handle the mature situations like that.
Yeah. I'm not mad about that, that's for sure. There could be something there. Imagine, yeah, I mean, you go down to the sewers in like a couple times in both games. Like, imagine if one time you go down there, there's just like Turtle just pops out and he's like, "Hey, can I come
or
kick
no,
some ass? Can I come kick some ass with you?" Like, yeah, sure. Let's fight some clickers.
You think it's one of them? You think it's a clicker? Like, because you hear stuff in the background and it's really just him stalking you.
Oh man. Yeah.
Until he pops out and you're like, no, we're not infected. We're not infected. We're not, you know, And then just for that section of the game, right? Just in the sewers, you team up. And then once you get out of the sewers, he pieces out.
That's it. What they need to do is they need to, because they, with the part two remake, remaster, again, deluxe director's cut edition, whatever they're calling it. they have that like roguelite mode where you just play as long as you can until you die. They need to add a turtle in there for like, that'd be great. It's like, yeah, let's only play as one of the turtles and beat the crap out of stuff. Just bring in a bunch of characters. I don't care who they are. Bring in like Homer Simpson. Like, I don't know.
Is this Fortnite now?
Is this Fortnite? But it's how far can you get into The Last of Us before you die?
Speaking of Fortnite,
did you see that Star Wars announcement?
Oh, no, not only that, but right now they're doing Avatar.
Whoa.
And those skins. Look, I bought the whole thing, brother. Oh, yeah. I have all four of them. You better believe I did. Those skins look so good. And you can play with avatar powers right now, too.
That's
so like fire, broken. Wind, water. Oh, it's broken. It's broken 100%. But it's cool as heck.
That's awesome. Dang. Video games are cool. You know that?
Video games rule, man.
Video games are so cool. All right. Well, I think that's it for our listener questions. Remember, if you want your questions answered on air, send them into our Discord, supergamerboys.com/Discord. You can join us over there, hang out, talk about video games, talk about movies, talk about music you're listening to, talk about the show, and remember to leave your questions. We appreciate it. We're at the bottom of the barrel, I think, now, so more would be appreciated. We need some more. Keep them coming. You guys are awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, and with that, it's now time for the Nerdy Nudes.
It's now time for the Nerdy Nudes.
Glorious, glorious. And with that, this first new story comes to us from IGN, written by Ryan Dinsdale. Xbox is moving full speed ahead on next-gen console. Microsoft is moving full speed ahead on its next-generation console. An internal email from Xbox President Sarah Bond has revealed the email, obtained by Windows Central and verified to be genuine by Microsoft, also announced the formation of a game preservation team at Xbox. We're moving full speed ahead on our next-generation hardware, focused on delivering the biggest technological leap ever in a generation, Bond said, reiterating comments made in February when the console's existence was officially announced. No further information was shared regarding the hardware itself, nor when fans might be able to buy it, but documents leaked in 2023 suggested Microsoft plans to release the next Xbox in 2028. Regardless, with Microsoft seemingly making its development a priority, it will likely be available sooner rather than later. Alongside it, looking to the future, Xbox also appears committed to the past and present. We have formed a new team dedicated to game preservation, important to all of us at Xbox and the industry itself, Vaughn said in an email. We are building on our strong history of delivering backwards compatibility to our players, and we remain committed to bringing forward the amazing library of Xbox games for future generations of players to enjoy. While game preservation is largely concerned with ensuring classic titles don't become lost to time, it's ironically the current generation of games which may be most at risk due to online requirements and digital formats. Live service games are often unplayable without an internet connection, so when servers are shut down, they disappear for good. Microtransactions being available even in single-player modes can also force online requirements, and several other games therefore face a similar issue. Adrian, what are your thoughts on this? They're ready to move on. They've lost this war. Let's move forward to the next thing. Do you think that's a good idea? And then do you think we're going to see the Series S and X suffer because of it? I guess that's my concern. If they move on too quickly, is the current gen going to suffer?
I mean, is it not already suffering now? You know?
Good point.
I mean, when you got rumors of developers asking, why are we even supporting, you know, the Xbox version, it's kind of like, oof. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's not a good look.
That is true.
I mean, it's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It's just the way that companies work, right? So what a lot of people don't think about is, like, for example, we'll say Sony. When Sony put out PS5, they were already starting production or pre-production or planning for PlayStation 6, right? You have to do that. As a worldwide multi-billion dollar operation, you have to have a forecast of the projects that you have coming out over, you know, the next years. So that way everybody can get on the same page. You can coordinate everything together. You can have a plan for your shareholders, all that. So I'm not surprised that Xbox is already working on their next system. I feel like they've already been working on it and just haven't been saying anything. It's nice to hear, you know, to hear confirmed, of course, well, not necessarily confirmed to the public, but like that they're talking about it internally. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that this news is going to hurt any more than it already can. Like, Xbox is already hurting, regardless of what they say. They're being outsold, 3-1, I think, is it for PlayStation?
Like that. Yeah, something like that. Crazy.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I respect it. You know, just like when Phil came out and said, yeah, we're taking the L on this one. And they know they are, as far as, you know, hardware is concerned. But their battle's not really there. Which is weird, because actually, now that I think about it, this feels like kind of doublespeak, right? Because Phil and them are always like, oh, well, you know, we're our big thing is in services. You know, we really want to push services. Well, if you're trying to push services, why are you talking about this next Xbox
Why you worry about it
ever?
The system, when everything's going to be services and cloud-based, right? Like, that's, yeah.
Right. Like, so are you still, like, focused on pushing hardware, or are you trying to push services? Because which one you can't tell me you're 100% behind both things.
Yeah, it does almost feel like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, kind of thing. But at the same time, I get why they're focusing on both, because I feel like they do have to, right? Because no matter what, PlayStation and Nintendo are always going to be putting out a console, so to be somewhat relevant, they have to have something to put out. But
right,
but it, yeah, you're right. It still is contradictory. Like, on one side, it's like it's all about the services and the cloud, and the other side's like, we're going to give you the most technologically advanced console ever. It's like, okay.
So which one is it, Xbox? Which one is it?
Where are we going with this? And honestly, I mean, it's just them. There's stuck in the past and present right now. It's like stuck between a rock and a hard place, but it's like past and present, the past and the future. They're stuck between the past and the future, where they still need to appeal to gamers who are have that past mindset where they still want the consoles and they still want all this stuff. And then the future where they're like, where they're ready to move on. Like, it's almost like they want to move on. They want to be done, but they know they technically can't because that's not realistic. You know, there's still so many consumers out there who do just want a box, you know?
Right. And so, I'm one of them. I don't mind having a nice box. Right. Yeah. But I would like for you to let me know, you know, if this is the direction you intend on going before I buy this, that would be nice.
Right, exactly. Before you move forward and buy another box and then find out, oh, I didn't need this because I could have just used my phone.
Right.
With your backbone. Or just stream it through an app on your TV or whatever it might be.
Right. I could have put that $500 towards the TV to just stream it off of and had a better TV and still been able to play Xbox games. So
exactly. It's interesting too about the comment about game preservation as well. They're putting together a team. I thought they already had one because, I mean, again, they've kind of championed that out of all of them. Nintendo, Sony, like Xbox has done the best with protecting like those older games. So it's interesting to me that they didn't already have a team put together. But I think that's great. I don't know what that means then. Like, it would be nice. I'm excited to hear like an official update, be like, hey, here's what we're actually doing and how we're going to do it. Like, are they going to create virtual machines where you can still play like online with these things, but make faux local internet or local servers or something that people can play off of where it's all online, but it's set up as like a, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just curious because in the article they mentioned, they talk about like how online games are like every game basically is an online game nowadays. Even single player games are online still. Like, you got to connect for different things. Yep. So game preservation is going to get trickier and trickier. I'm just, I'm curious how they're going to work their way around that. If that is in fact what their team's been working on, but
likely when I volunteered at, so there's a museum out here that kind of is literally when I talk about game preservation, these guys are who I think of, right? I volunteered at them out in Oakland over here. And,
I always wanted the way to go to that. When I lived up in Modesto, I was like, I'm so close, like an hour and a half away, and I never did it. I'm so bummed. Yeah,
that place was awesome. That is awesome. It's still around. But the way that they did it is they somehow would get the source code of the game and then create their own internal servers for the game to be able to be played within the museum. So that way you could still experience what the online component of a game would have been like.
Right.
And I thought that was amazing. So that's probably what's going to end up having to be done going forward. It's just, you know, when a game or when a system or console is not supported, maybe Microsoft can, you know, to certain entities like them or what is the other one? The Gaming Foundation or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember.
Maybe they could provide source code to them for preservation's sake, and then they can, those teams can take it and re-engineer it to do their own internal servers at the museum. So that way somebody has it.
Yeah. I feel like that has to be the answer there. Like, that has to, I can't imagine any other way, because Microsoft isn't going to foot the bill for that either. Like, they're not going to want to pay for that. They're going to be like, oh, we're going to, it's one thing to preserve the games, another thing to then continue to support servers for people to play on. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's who's going to pay for that in the long run? You know, Microsoft's still a business. They got to make money. So,
right.
But I don't know. This is all just very interesting news. I guess what I want to cap it off with is I'm excited for the official announcement. Cause again, all of this has been leaks and rumors. When are we going to get the official statement from Xbox saying not even about the main console, but again, like, it'd be cool to hear about whatever their next plans are. Like, give us an actual, what do they call it? Like a map looking forward, a roadmap looking forward. Yeah. Letting us know like, hey, here's what we're working on, whether it's about their services, whether it's about their consoles. And then, give me more about this backwards compatibility team. What does this even look like? Because this is all cool news, but until we hear what the actual, their purposes behind these things, It's all just, you know.
My thing would be, if I'm Sarah and I'm starting this up and I want people to take us seriously, I would come out with like a show of commitment to it, right? Like, this is the new backwards compatibility or the game preservation team, and we are serious about preservation. And to prove it to you, we are in the process of 100% preserving every single original Xbox, Microsoft published Xbox game, and allowing it to be, you know, put on Game Pass or something of that nature. You know what I mean? Or able to be purchased on the Microsoft Store, something like that. I think that would go a long way to actually show that they're doing something as far as game preservation is concerned. And they have a lot of original Xbox titles already, but this would be, to me, a good show of faith that, yeah, every Microsoft original Xbox and Xbox 360 game that, you know, Microsoft published is going to be preserved and is going to be available for on Game Pass or to purchase on the Microsoft Game Store.
That would be amazing. Yeah, if they just start bringing them all to Game Pass, like, hey, here's our classic library, similar to what PlayStation did, but hopefully they do it better, because PlayStation has their classic catalog. And
oh, don't get me started on that piece of trash. The one they add like two games to every 3 months.
It's all trash. It's so sad.
Good grief.
Because there's so many great classic PlayStation games, and like they have a few good ones on there, but they could have so many more, and they just don't even try over there. So yeah, if they add a classic collection like catalog over on Game Pass, where it's a bunch of retro games coming, or not retro, but just like, yeah, back catalog games from original Xbox, 360, whatever it might be. Oh, that would be so good. That'd be so good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the next news story here. Next one comes from Games Radar, written by Austin Wood. Are we sure Star Wars Outlaws is a Ubisoft game? Its director says there are no map towers to climb out in the open world. Sounds like we'll just, you know, explore instead. That's a fun little headline and subheader there. don't you change, Games Radar. Don't you change. Ubisoft's next open world adventure, Star Wars Outlaws, breaks at least one of the company's time-honored traditions, climbing towers to progress the map. That's according to Game Informer's Brian Shea, who said on Twitter that Star Wars Outlaws creative director Julian Garrity of Ubisoft's Massive Entertainment outright confirmed there are not any towers you climb in the open world to unlock the map. What will we be doing instead of using binoculars or eagles or whatever universe appropriate MacGuffin to scour the surrounding lands? She says, from what I understand, it's just your exploration, meaning the world's map's obscuring fog naturally clears as you explore new areas. There's an argument to be made that climbing towers or just tall things in general is fun to do in video games. Fittingly, Ubisoft, specifically Ubisoft Studio Reflections, has a whole game about climbing things. Two, actually, in Grow Home and its unexpected sequel, Grow Up, both of which are great fun. But there's also something to be said for how predictable and processed stamped out towers can make a game world feel, to say nothing of how appropriate they may or may not feel for the setting. That's the whole arc. I don't need to keep reading that. First of all, a new trailer came out for Outlaws last week.
Looked sick.
Looks so freaking good. I don't get all the hate. I don't know if you saw that on the internet. Everyone hating on the
main
character.
You know why? Because they've never gone outside and actually seen a woman. They don't know what women look like. They never talked to them.
I mean, all women look like the ones from Stellar Blade, right? That's how everyone...
Apparently. And they're not pretty unless they look like the ones from Stellar Blade, is what I understand.
Right, exactly. No, it was wild. Like, Super Best David in the chat says, I'm pretty sure all women look like Jessica Rabbit.
They must.
They do. It's a fact, in fact.
Heaven forbid they look like just regular people, you know?
You look
like regular humans.
It was wild, like seeing all the hate on the trailer. I'm like, what are you talking? Like, it looks like a woman. It looks like it looks like anyone else. Like, I don't get it. And she's not. And everyone's saying how ugly too. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, she's
not in the
very,
slightest. Are you crazy?
Like,
do you have eyes?
Do you have eyes?
Look again, brother.
Yeah. It was like, there's nothing unattractive in my
just walk up to me
eyes.
Talking about, hey, I need you to smuggle something for me. I'm doing this. I'm doing one of the classic pulling on my collar, getting the steam out. Are you bugging? You crazy?
Yeah, I don't know. But the trailer looks sick. I'm very excited about this game. And then it's a stupid news story, but at the same time, it got me excited. Like, are they breaking the Ubisoft curse here? For years, Ubisoft has had, for all their games, Assassin's Creed, for Far Cry, like any open world game they do, spin-off game, whatever. It's, they've all felt very samey the last like 10 years. Yep. Watch Dogs. Everything just kind of feels the same with a different skin on it. And so when we first heard about Ubisoft taking Star Wars Outlaws, we were all very excited initially, but I know for me, at least personally, I was like, I was worried about that. Like, oh, is this going to feel like Far Cry, but with a Star Wars skin on it? And so even hearing this, as small as this is, I was just like, yes, they're doing it. They're changing things up a little bit. So I just hope this is a sign that there's more changing with their quote unquote formula. You know, they're not just keep sticking to the normal, you know, Ubisoft thing. They're going to stretch their legs, stretch their wings out, I should say, and really like get creative with it. So I don't know. We'll see. Now, do you have any hopes for this start or even like thoughts after seeing the trailer, like looking forward, like, okay, what are your thoughts?
I'm absolutely interested in it. 100%.
Okay. Yeah.
I love my mainline Star Wars stories, but I also love when we go off the beaten path and get to see, you know, other sides or other activities going on in the universe, like, you know, Andor or Mandalorian or things like, you know, just things that were happening outside of the Skywalker saga. I think it's cool because it builds the universe out to make it feel alive, right? So when I heard about this coming on, this is like, oh yeah, this is the spiritual successor of pretty much 1313, which was supposed to be kind of the same thing, looking at the seedy underbelly of the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. So I was all about it. And then we get the original, the reveal trailer that had what, like the tiniest sliver of gameplay, I think, in it.
Yeah, a little tiny bit.
Right. And now we get the expanded trailer, which gives us a little bit of a better look at KVS and, you know, the story and exactly what all we're going to be doing. And I'm stoked for it. I don't really have any other, you know, thoughts about it, except I'm ready to play it. I have thoughts about the marketing for sure. Apparently there's a notion that they're trying to put a mission with Jabba the Hutt behind the season pass. And I am not okay with that, because and you know what that tells me is that Ubisoft is trying to not be Ubisoft anymore, and then also is 100% still trying to be Ubisoft at the same time.
That's true. Even with their pricing model too, they're doing the typical standard edition, gold edition, deluxe edition, or deluxe and then gold, or whatever
Ultimate,
they call it.
Ultimate, superior.
It's like they got like four different versions. Like the cheapest one starts at $70 and it goes up to like $120 for a game. It's like, what is going on over there with Ubisoft stuff? But so you're right. In some ways, they're still, you know, Ubisoft's going to Ubisoft. They're going to do what they always have. But though those are in external things to a certain extent. I hope the main game, at least they can shake it up enough to make it fun and interesting. And I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Even if it was samey, I feel like I can forgive it a little bit more if it has a good story.
That's true.
So we shall see. It's August, right?
I actually do not remember. Think so. Yeah. It's fall this year sometime. One thing, it has to have a halfway decent story because, I mean, freaking Knights of the Old Republic, I mean, apparently now it's alive and well, but it got shut down a few months ago when Embracer Group was working on it because of how bad the story was with that. So obviously Disney's not screwing around. If they don't like it, they're shutting stuff down, or at least putting it on hold. So the fact that this Ubisoft game is continuing, it's like, all right, they seem to care about it. And the Star Wars Jedi series has been incredible. Both Fallen Order and Survivor. I did not play Survivor, but from what I've heard is even better than Fallen Order. So I hope that's a good sign with Outlaws. Like they're continuing, they're not shutting it down like they did KOTOR, and they're in their track record. Disney, Star Wars games in general, the track record has been good as far as story goes. Story games
Have
been
good. Yeah, that's fair.
So,
yeah.
Lulu's in the chat, says, hate to break it to you, it's April. So apparently we were both completely wrong, or she's lying to us right now. No, it's your, what are you talking about? Date? She's, no, she,
forget it. Oh, she means like it's April right now. Yeah, okay.
She got me.
Smarty
she
pants. Got me.
This is why I shouldn't read chat during the recording.
Don't you got messages to read?
All right. Yeah. Shouldn't you be modding for our channel? Jimmy, give a shout out to David. Do something useful. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Just getting spicy over here.
Right.
All right. This
how to lose a mod in 10 days.
Oh, no. All right. This last news story comes to us from GameSpot, written by George Yang over there. EA no longer working on Dead Space 2 remake. Electronic Arts is reportedly no longer working on a remake of Dead Space 2 due to the sales of the first remake not meeting expectations. There has been an update.
Oh, really?
EA has addressed the report to state that no such project was ever in the works. We don't normally comment on rumors, but there's no validity to this story, EA said in the statement to IGN. Bloomberg then added that EA decided to put the franchise on hold as early as last spring due to the Dead Space remake not hitting their publisher's sales expectations. So the update is basically not that the reason was incorrect, because the reason is 100% spot on. Their argument was, we were never working on it in the first place.
Sure, you weren't.
This whole thing's a lie. We never did it. Yeah.
You must think we're some kind of schmucks, huh?
I love how EA, they say right in their thing, we don't normally comment on rumors, but for some reason they felt this time they had to, and it was for something that doesn't even matter. Like, who cares if you were working on it or not? What matters,
right?
Like, what we all have issue is the second half of that statement, which is that the first remake didn't meet expectations. What? So let me continue here. According to Giant Bomb's Jeff Grubb, EA reportedly has its hand busy with both the upcoming Iron Man game and the next Battlefield entry that it deprioritized the Dead Space 2 remake. They were working on Dead Space 2 and they are no longer working on it, he explained, which that's what EA had umbrage with. It's on the shelf because the first game had lackluster sales. That was a true statement, according to EA. He also reported that the game was still in the pre-production phase, but now has been shelved. That was incorrect, apparently. However, Grubb said that it doesn't mean that Dead Space 2 remake will never happen, but for right now, EA is apparently focusing on other projects. EA has already confirmed that lead developers of the Dead Space remake are building a team for what's to come next for Battlefield, and that the Iron Man game has made excellent progress in 2024. However, it doesn't seem likely that we'll see either game anytime soon. The next Battlefield game reportedly isn't going to be released until late 2025. I thought I picked a different article because there was an article that I thought had sales numbers in it. But either way, from what I heard, that game it reviewed extremely well. Everyone loved it. What kind of sales numbers are they looking for? Like, I kind of want to
this
look
is the
it
thing
up. I want to look it up here real quick. So you talk.
So
I look
sick
up
and tired of these situations like with EA that. We had a forecast that the game was actually going to move about 55 million units in the first 30 seconds that the game came out. And because it didn't do that, we're not going to move forward with the sequel development, unfortunately. So many of these big companies are doing that. Tomb Raider. Square Enix, because Tomb Raider didn't sell a trillion copies during its development or its time with them, they let it go. They sold it. It's odd to me that these companies that are this big are still trying to chase such a fast profit. Does that make sense to me or to you?
I mean it doesn't make sense. It just seems wild. Yeah, I don't understand. Video games are an art. You know, it is entertainment, right? And it's a way to make money, but it's art. And I just feel like it is below. And unfortunately, businesses don't make money off of just making art. They make money off of making cash grabs.
Fair.
I don't know. And so, yeah, it's just frustrating to me, like, to think, like, yeah, man, like, the first one had half, like, so I was looking on, I can't find exact sales numbers, but it was the second best-selling game in January behind Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, which, that's a juggernaut because it's Call of Duty. Right. But still, like, if it was number two, like, that's incredible. It also was one of the best-selling horror IPs in the UK, like, it topped the charts in the UK. So it's like killed it on all these charts and sales and stuff like that. So I guess I'm just curious, like I guess kind of what you were saying, what kind of numbers are they looking for? What do they want here? Because it seems like they're getting it and it's never enough. They're never satisfied. And I don't know. Dead Space 2 remake would have been so freaking cool. The first one I didn't finish. So I played the original Dead Space. Because we did it for a book club a few years back, which you can go find that in season one book club if you're a Patreon supporter. I started up Dead Space Remake, and let me tell you, like, that was a gorgeous game. The sound design is amped up to 11. The graphics were insane. Like, it was terrifying. Like, the first game is still terrifying. Even playing that recently, just a few years back, like, I was like, holy cow, this game holds up. And then they remade it and somehow made it even scarier, even better. And again, it sounds like based off the ratings, reviews, the sales charts, like it did so good. So to me, it seems more like EA just wants to move on and do different things. They want to go back to their, I mean, they got their Iron Man game. Yeah. Which is, it's pretty, I'm sure that's exciting for them to finally get a Marvel project.
Of course.
They've had a Marvel project before, didn't they? Weren't they the ones who did the Avengers, or no?
For Square Enix?
Oh, that was Square Enix, not EA.
Was Square Enix, yeah.
Has EA had any Marvel project? Because, yeah, if this is the first one, maybe they're just, like, super scared.
Have had some back in the day, but, like, of the current Marvel games thing, I don't think they have.
Hmm. Yeah. I wonder if they're just kind of like, hey, we got to all hands on deck for this Iron Man game. We don't want it to suck. Honestly, as soon as I heard they were even making an Iron Man game, I was like, Anthem?
Yo, before we push on, yeah. I have to give Anthem credit. That game has some of the best flight controls I have ever played. Like, as far as the suits are concerned, like flying in a suit, mm-hmm. that felt so perfect for what I would imagine having to control a flight suit to be like. So if they can somehow integrate that tech into the Iron Man game, oh baby, we might have a banger on our hands. Yeah,
I mean, that might be half the reason they got the Iron Man game. I'm sure that was almost like a proof of concept. Like, hey, like, we got the mechanics down. We just need help dialing in, like, the story and the world. And they're like, well, skin it with Iron Man. And they're like, okay, we can do that.
Done.
You know? Because that's what I heard. I heard it was a good feeling game. It was like a lot of people enjoyed Anthem for what it was, just because of the gameplay aspect of it. So, mm-hmm. yeah, who knows? I don't know. This whole thing is sad a little bit. I mean, granted, I don't know. We mentioned them kind of leaning towards cash grabs, and I guess you could almost say Dead Space 2 remake would also be a cash grab because it's remaking a game that had come out and was good and stuff like that. But I guess as a fan of the series, though, like, they did such a good job with the first one. It's more sad to, like, I would have rather them say, hey, we're not going to do it just because we don't want to, rather than make enough money for us.
Tell,
like,
a story.
That's what is more frustrating, because I think it would actually make a lot of money and also, like, help reinvigorate that story, and you could even change it up, you know, for this remake. But I don't know. We'll see.
Nothing we can do about it now.
Nothing we can do about it. And apparently it's not completely dead. It's just on ice. So who knows? Maybe in 15 years, we'll see a Dead Space 2 remake.
Oh, 15 years.
We'll be old men sitting on our couch. Just
remember that Dead Space remake?
They're bringing it back. Do you remember that?
Huh?
What?
Huh?
Okay. All right. Well, that's it for the news stories this week, I believe. Now, it is time for our Patreon ad.
Get it going.
This is the part of the show where I tell all of you to go over to patreon.com/supergamerboys and support us over there, starting at just $1 a month. That's right, $1 gets you episodes early and ad-free, such as this show, as well as our Patreon-exclusive show, Super Later Boys. You can only get it there. And other previous seasons of content. We got ad-free versions of Super Gamer Book Club. I think we got ad-free versions of Super Dungeon Boys, our D&D show over there. We got it all over there. So if you want to listen to it without ads, and a couple of those things, again, only available over there, just $1 a month. Help support the channel, get some cool content. We'd appreciate it. $5 a month, you can get the previous perk and the show notes each and every week, so you know exactly what we're going to be talking about. You can see the show notes, all the news stories, what we've been playing, the listener questions, all of it. And leave your own questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, answers right there on the doc for me to read on the show. So really, it's a perk that a lot of our fans who aren't able to catch us live on Monday nights when we stream the recording live, they're able to drop it in there, and then we can read it up on the show for people to hear. So if you want to be part of the show, $5 a month, you can help support the channel and have your voice heard. $10 a month, you can be a Super Gamer sponsor, where you get those previous perks and a big old shout out top of each and every episode. Sing your name from the top of a mountain for all to hear, shouting and celebrating how awesome you are. So if you want to join that crew, think about supporting us at $10 a month, be a Super Gamer sponsor. We are top dog tiers, Patreon producer, $15 a month. If you absolutely love what we do, want to help us make something bigger and better, and help push the channel to new heights, Patreon producer, $15 a month, and you get all those previous perks and the opportunity to pitch us a show segment. That's right. If you have an idea for a new segment for this show, or maybe something outside of the show, we have Kajoma, who occasionally does his card game corner each and every week. He'll talk about TCG news, Marvel Snap, Magic the Gathering, nerd stuff like that, you know. Adrian used to do Super Indie Boys. We used to do Tall Tales with JJ, which didn't last long, but we gave it a good old college try. If you have any ideas, think about pitching us those segments, ideas. We'll give it the old college try. It's a fun time. We enjoy it. And so far, all of our Patreon producers, I think, have enjoyed it too. Right, Adrian? It was all right. We did pretty good. I mean, we didn't do anything. You did it. You're the one who did Super Indie Boys. You did good. You did it. You were a good Patreon producer.
Yeah.
But think about supporting us over there. Patreon.com/SuperGamerBoys. All the love and help is appreciated. Nextly, that's the proper term, you can support us over at sgbstore.com, where you can buy our new dad cap. I mean, new, it's been there for a couple months now, but I love it. I wear it all the time. So what are you waiting for? Go buy that the dad hat over there. We got stickers, we got coffee mugs, which I drink out of almost every day. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, get it all. Get our logo emblazoned your entire body. We used to have socks with our logo on it. I don't know if we still do. They might be there. They might be hidden. But if you look hard enough, you might find them. Go check it out. Cover every possible part of your body with our logo. We appreciate it. Last but not least, if you are here on Twitch, think about subscribing using your Prime Gaming subscription. It is free for you. And we get $5 out of the deal. That's right. You can steal $5 right out of Jeff Bezos's pocket, slap it in our wallets, and it is very much appreciated. And not only do you get to support our channel, but you get to use our emotes across all of the Twitchverse, and you get to watch ad-free. So those pesky ads that pop up every 30 minutes on Twitch, no matter how many times I hit snooze, you could skip those altogether. So think about dropping that free Prime sub over on us to help support the channel. And with that, let's get back to the show. All right, Adrian. It's that time. What you been playing?
Oh, good buddy.
Oh boy.
As you said at the top of the show, I am now choosing to go by the moniker Pocket Poppy.
Pocket Poppy. Love it.
Yes, sir. And that is for no other reason than I have received and I ordered and waited and received my analog pocket console. And let me tell you, dude, that is one fine piece of kit.
Heck yes.
I have never seen Game Boy games look that good than on that screen. When they say it's like 10 times as clear and crispy as a Game Boy, original Game Boy screen, they mean it. It's almost
jealous.
Almost like playing the game again for the first time now that I can actually see it.
Okay. You know? Wow. That's crazy.
I'm not even like, I don't know. And then the fact that you can take it and you can put it in the dock too, and then it blows up on the TV, but it doesn't blow out. It looks really good. It's a really sharp, really clear picture. I don't know what kind of algorithms they're using or if they're using any kind of things. I know it's mostly like built to be a repurposed or a modern day rebuilding of a Game Boy. So on the inside, it's supposed to be, you know, essentially the same hardware. But whatever kind of scaling software that they're using, as far as like docking it to the TV, it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. It looks like a modern day console, dude. I cannot get enough of this thing.
That's so cool.
It has been in my bag every day since I bought it. I got the hard case for it, and it's pretty sick because it looks like you're showing like a display piece just because of how like shiny the plastic. I don't know how, like,
so good.
A really nice collectible. Right?
Yeah, right, right.
Good. I've been playing it every day, and it's awesome. I need to go and get more original Game Boy games. I don't have a whole lot,
okay,
but it makes me want to get them. My Advance games look phenomenal on there too, especially even when I put them on the big screen.
Oh, I'm sure it's beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, Golden Sun. Oh man, blown up like that. I've never seen it that big, and it looks fantastic, dude.
That's so good.
Oh man,
so good.
Yeah.
So you got the analog pocket, the case, and then the dock. Is it actually outputting 4K, or is it only like a 1080p signal? Like, what signal is it outputting?
It's 1080, but that's super duper overkill for anything it's gonna play.
Okay.
So
yeah. Interesting. Man, that's so cool. Did you ever look farther? Because I think I asked you about it somewhere. I don't remember, maybe on the Discord. Does it have the ability to change the colors, if that makes sense? But you know how
it does.
You know how like on Game Boy, like if I had a Game Boy game and I played it on Game Boy, it's all green. But mm-hmm. if I put it in a Game Boy Color, it colorizes it. If I put it in a Game Boy Advance, it was even colorized a little bit differently. Like it would, like games would look different on the different Game Boy consoles. So it has that ability to kind of like emulate the different consoles.
There's a setting that's called Force Game Boy Color Mode. And they even have different palettes inside of that Game Boy Color Mode that you can and set it to.
Okay.
That's... So there's like a minty palette, there's awesome. A blue palette, there's a red base palette. Yeah. No, it's pretty awesome.
That's legit. Is there also filters to like emulate almost like the CRT look to it? Because that's another thing. Like it's one thing, like, yeah, games, those old games look really cool being so sharp and crystal clear. But there's also something about seeing it with, you know, on like some of those sprite designs were designed with the CRT, or not the CRT, but the dot matrix look in mind. Like it helps it look right. Almost more 3D in a sense. Like so it has the ability to turn that on and off as well.
The awesome thing about it, dude, is the screen is so pixel dense that when they do the emulation of the original Game Boy, it almost looks dead on. But it looks dead on when you saw commercials for the original Game Boy and you saw how clear the game was in the commercial, that's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it still looks like a dot matrix, but it also still has the clarity of the modern screen in it.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense. But they have that. They have even for Game Boy Advance, you can make it look like the current crispy one. You can make it look like an original model Game Boy Advance, and you can make it look like a SP because they all had different screens.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So cool. I'm so jealous. If I had physical game collection of like old Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games, I would 100% get one. But for me, like
now,
I don't have a collection, and to start a collection, they're so freaking expensive. It's like,
well, here's the thing I'm gonna clue you in on.
Okay.
Me in my old man ways, I'm going to use cartridges, but the Analog Pocket has been hacked to be able to play ROMs.
Really? Because I feel like I remember reading online, like that was their whole thing, is like, sorry, no ROMs allowed. Doesn't work.
That's Analog's thing. You got to remember, Analog also has open FPGA on there, which is like the development environment that they use. Mm-hmm. And people went in there super quickly and opened it up to where you can just play any Game Boy game ROM.
Well,
I like Super Nintendo, you know, any other cores that it supports.
Yeah.
But well, I got it.
In that case.
I got it. Oh, right.
Man.
But I got it for me, basically, like the day that this came into the house, every Game Boy, every SP, every whatever console I had is retired. It's done.
Done.
And I mean that in the most respectful way, right? Like, this is my Game Boy now. If I ever want to play a Game Boy game again, it's going to be on this.
That's so cool. Ah, I'm so excited for you. I'm glad you got one because they sell out so freaking fast. Like, the fact
so
that you got
fast.
One.
I was there 8 o'clock that morning, like, brother.
It's a miracle.
Ready
it's
to
a
go.
Miracle that you got one, honestly. Oh, so good. So good. I am basically just been playing a lot of the same things I have been. So that's kind of boring.
Rebirth?
That's boring to talk about. Yeah, Rebirth, Kingdom Hearts 2 on stream. I finally am Sora. That's cool. I'm no longer... I don't even
now
remember
you're
his,
cooking.
I don't remember his name. That's how much I didn't care for
don't
him.
Don't disrespect Roxas like that. Don't ever.
Yeah.
How dare you?
The game, it's good. It's good so far. I had a blast actually last stream because Selkies, who's in the chat now. Selks, he joined me and on the Discord chat. So he was in there in voice comms, kind of my little Sherpa through the Kingdom Hearts world. And it was fun having him commentate and
I appreciate somebody being there in my absence when I'm unable to make it to the stream, so you're not left out in the cold on your own.
Yeah, really what you care about, you just don't want me hating on the game. And so you and Selks have a deal where if I say anything bad, he probably reports back to you, right? He's like, here's my notes, here's all the terrible things Garrett said. And
I can neither confirm nor deny that this is the case.
Alright, if you say so. But what I have been watching, I want to talk about real quick. Have you watched the new Fallout show on Amazon Prime?
I don't know why I haven't started it.
Oh.
I legitimately don't have a good reason,
Adrian.
Other than, I don't know, dude. I've been playing a lot of Pocket. I can't help it.
You've been busy with the Pocket
I've
Poppy
been
over
busy.
There.
Pocket Poppy, busy.
It is,
I hear it's excellent, though.
I'm like 4 episodes in. I think I'm about halfway so far.
People are talking like it's better than Last of Us.
It's up there. I still really enjoy The Last of Us. I don't know if it's better, but it's not worse, if that makes sense. I would say it's on par. It's that quality.
Okay.
It's so good. Like, The Last of Us was very much like, oh my gosh, this is the best video game adaptation ever. This is amazing. It's so good. Granted, that's not a very high bar, but Last of Us set the bar high. I feel like this right. is 100% on par with that. And I just love, like, the characters are fun. I love the little, like, inside jokes and Easter eggs that are in there. Like, oh, yeah, playing the games. That's fun. It's totally a Fallout thing, 100%.
I hear they play music from the radio. Like the radio from the game.
Yeah, one episode ended, and I was just like, I guess, minor spoilers for soundtrack choice. I'm like the credits start to roll for that episode, and it's like, oh, that's the song from the Fallout 3 trailer. Like, that's like the song from the like everyone knows.
Oh, yeah, okay.
To see the world
set the world on fire.
And I was like losing my mind, and Trudy's like, what? And I'm like,
that's the thing from the song! They're doing it!
Understand. they're playing the song! It's the Fallout song!
It's the thing!
It's not for Trudy, that's for sure. She's most of the time she just sits on her phone. She's like, kind of, she'll watch a little bit. It is extremely over the top, violent and gory, which playing the Fallout games, like, it may, like, yes, the Fallout games are extremely violent and gory, but this is going to sound weird. It doesn't seem that way because it's a video game. Like, you play it and you're just like, oh, like, it's over the top, but it doesn't feel over the top. It just feels like, oh, this is the world. And because it's a video game graphics, it's, like, it's not good. Like, it's not right. like visceral. But this being live action, like, with that same intensity of violence and gore, it's like, oh my gosh. Like, so anytime there's a fight breaks out, like, Trudy's immediately, like, just on her phone scrolling Instagram.
Not
and
doing
she's
this.
Like, she's like, I'm listening. And the whole time it's just like guts, you know, gunshots, explosions. Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like a good time to me.
David says it best. There's something about seeing all the gore with real people that just makes it hit different. 100%. It's one thing when you blow someone's head off.
I mean, the only alternative is what? A 360 game from yeah. what? 2008, 2009? So it better look a lot better than that.
Well, it's not that it looks a lot better. It's just, like you said, it just hits different. It's one thing to see it in those graphics and like playing Fallout 3 on 360. And another thing to see, yeah, like this actor or actress just like this dude's foot get blown off or something like that, and it's just like bones sticking out, and it's like, oh my gosh. So yes, very visceral, very intense, but the story and the soundtrack and the characters, like, all so fantastic. I'm loving it.
Did they say when those next gen versions are supposed to come out? Because I got a hankering for some Fallout.
Apparently
they're doing 3 or 4.
I've only heard about an update for Fallout 4 and 76, I think. For sure, 4, maybe 76, but it's supposed to be the end of this month. I think that's what they said. So by the end of the month, there's going to be those updates.
Does 3 have a 60 frames per second mode yet?
I do not know that. I don't know. If anyone in the chat,
I can sure go for some 3. Yeah,
if anyone in the chat knows if the updates for 3 in New Vegas, let me know. But I think it's just for 4, basically. which is it would be cool to get. Imagine a remaster of Fallout 3 in New Vegas.
That's what they should be doing. That's what Bethesda should be doing.
Fallout 3
or
Fallout
Xbox
New
letting
Vegas.
Somebody do.
Oh, it'd be so good. Oh, man, those are like my favorite games. Like, I spent
hundreds of hours
between 3 and New Vegas. Thousands
just
of hours
roaming
in
the
my
wasteland,
life.
Dude. Just seeing what's out there.
Because at that point, like, I had grown up with like PS1 and PS2, but I was not an RPG or like an open world gamer kid at all. Like, I was almost against it. I'm like, these games are for nerds. Like, this is stupid. This too. Like,
I'm going back to my Warhammers.
I'm going back to
and Magic the Gathering.
No, at that
that's
point,
where the cool kids are.
At that point in my life, is like, I'm going back to Gex 2. and Crash Bandicoot 3 in my Gran Turismo B spec or whatever, like, all, like, it was that type of thing.
Not only Gran Turismo, which is already a nerdy racer sim, but the B spec, which is like the B side.
No, it was a mainline game. That was, it was what it was called Gran Turismo 3 B spec, I think. It was a mainline game.
I thought
game.
There was 3 and then there was B spec.
No. It was a mainline one. But yeah, so it was just like to go from that to like when I finally moved up to a 360, like I didn't after the PS2, I didn't go to PS3. I went to sold everything, all my PlayStation stuff, bought a 360, and for the first time playing an open world RPG game. That blew my mind.
Like, I was going to say, you're probably like, my God,
what, like,
what have I been missing?
Video games are capable of this. What is happening right now? Like, that just was another level. And then like the DLC for 3 was so good.
Like, yes.
Every piece of DLC that came out was fantastic for 3. And then New Vegas came out. That game was immaculate, like perfection. I almost like New Vegas a little bit more than 3. But
I can't fault you for that.
But it's close. It's like a close tie. Such good games. Remaster those, please, Bethesda. That's what you
please need
to do. Oh, so good. But that's it. That's what I've been playing. Oh, I played a little bit of Playdate. I played Mars After Midnight.
Really? And?
And I'm all for farty parties. I love it.
Farty parties, my man.
Yes, I was having fun with that. I just needed like a few minutes. It was one of those things where like, I only have a few minutes to play. Like my kid was in the bath and he was playing and I'm like, I need to stay close in case he starts to drown. I can save his life, but I don't mm-hmm. need to be like, watching him the whole time. Like he's chilling, he's playing, he's old enough now to do his thing. So I'm like sitting on the bathroom, on the toilet in the bathroom, the lid was down, using it as a seat, sitting on the toilet, just flipping on my Playdate, playing some Mars After Midnight. I was like, this game's a lot of fun. This has some potential. I like this. I didn't play for a ton, but it's fun, like pick up and go game, I think, right now for me.
Good. I'd love to hear that.
Good stuff. Go get a play date, everyone. I feel like we have to say that at least once an episode.
We have to keep the campaign up so that they will make me an ambassador.
We just need to add it to our ad section during our ad read. Go to playdate.com or play.date. Buy yourself a play date. We are not sponsored at all, but we love them.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet.
Keep the dream alive.
Keep it alive. All right. Well, that's it for the show. Thank you all so much for listening and watching. We appreciate each and every one of you who hang out. Thank you if you're watching live on Twitch. That's right. You can catch us live on Monday nights when we record this bad boy. Twitch.tv/TheSuperGamerBoys. You could be awesome just like Lula and just like Selks and just like Super Best David who raided with freaking 20 people or something like that. So, thank you so much for all the support. If you're not following us over on Twitch, you should. We're trying to get to 500 followers, was it, by the end of this year? Yep. I forget what the goal was. Lula knows what the goal is. I told her. I don't remember.
500?
Oh, Carrie's here too. Okay. Yes, Carrie, you are. She says, I'm cool too. Yes. I'm sorry. I forgot. I guess I hadn't seen you in chat in a minute. I thought maybe, how could I forget? Our biggest fan. And
I was going to say,
I feel terrible now.
She wouldn't abandon us like that.
That's it. Adrian, you take over. Hang it up. I feel bad.
That's no problem. I can handle it. Folks, thanks for hanging out with us for another episode of the Super Gamer Boys podcast. As always, we appreciate all your support, whether it's telling somebody about the show, whether it is, sitting here with us, chatting on Twitch. It all adds up and it all helps us to continue to keep doing what we love. And that's talking about video games and hanging out.
I need to finish my outro. I felt bad about Carrie, but I do need to finish my outro. Shout out to
that's what I was doing.
Were you? Did you shout out to DJ Trues?
Can I get to it?
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. I'll let you do.
Good grief. Shout out to DJ Trues for letting us use their music as a background for this episode. You can find them on Apple Music, Spotify, pretty much anywhere that music is available. And that's it. Thank you for another week.
Wait. Did you tell people where they can find us?
Huh?
People can find us during the week over at supergamerboys.com, Twitter and Instagram at supergamerboys. I am over on Twitter and Instagram at gmorling. Adrian, what can they find you at?
You can find me any and everywhere on the internet at homeboy.
All right, Adrian. Now I'm done.
Well, good, because I'm done too. I already did my spiel too. So.
Oh, frick. Okay, all right.
With that... We are the Super Gamer Boys.
And we'll catch you on the flippity flop.
See, you could be a good voice actor. That was a lot of energy in there.
Objection!